Tonight I'm going to take you into 1 Corinthians and share with you something that burned in my soul this morning at a 10:30 period when I shared it with a handful of our people sitting out underneath the apple trees. When I said, and you heard it a while ago on the album, it's on the album, when I said to the WOWs at the Rock of Ages that no one else has ever dared to try this, it is literally true. The reason, of course, is perhaps a change in our culture. Perhaps it's a believing also. But in the Bible culture, no one could teach until he was 30 years of age. But in our culture, it doesn't hinder us from going out at 18 or 19 to hold forth and to teach the greatness of God's word. But our ministry is blessed of God and blesses people around the nation and is growing with such tremendous strides, at least at this time, because once again, I think we're holding forth that word of God which was originally given to set men and women free with the greatness of the power of God. In this second chapter of Corinthians, I think I said third, right? Whatever I said, we're going to do the second. At least in part. See, the last revelation that was given to the Apostle Paul was the revelation of the mystery. The great mystery, as it's called in the Bible. Which is God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and of the same body, same family. The family of God. The reason this was revealed last to him is because the great mystery that it was, and nobody can receive any more than he's capable of receiving. God would have given all this revelation on the day of Pentecost, but he only had Peter and John, and those men were not capable of receiving it. Therefore, the revelation of what came on Pentecost was never given on the day of Pentecost. It was given many years later to the Apostle Paul. And it was the Apostle Paul that set it forth. That was the last great revelation that was given. And in the history of the early Christian church in the book of Acts, it was the first revelation that was lost. The last given and the first to disappear. When the church started going down the drain, that they had lost the knowledge of the revelation that God had given in what the mystery is and was and what it's all about. And I'd like to say to you tonight, it's the last to be recaptured. It's the last to be recaptured or regained. And this is the purpose and the existence and the reason why behind this ministry. We have something to say again in our day, in our time, which they have not heard since the first century. That's why God raised us up. That's why we have something to share with everybody today who wants to really know God and the things of God. In Corinthians chapter 2, he says, "And brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the mystery of God." The word testimony is the word mystery. Now I'm going to give you some very inherent, accurate text work tonight. So you'll have to be sharp to write these things on a notepad, add them to your Bible later, or do something. But he said, "I didn't come to you with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the mystery of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." The reason he could not basically share any more with them than Jesus Christ and him crucified was because most of them were incapable of receiving. God cannot give any more than people are capable of receiving. And here in Corinth, He could not know any more among them than Jesus Christ and Him crucified, class. And you and I are not saved in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And yet that's about as far as any so-called, quote, Christian, end of quote, church goes today. Jesus Christ and Him what? Crucified. That's why every church that has an altar says this to you. The altar is a place of sacrifice. The altar is indicative of sacrifice. The altar is a place of sacrifice. The Mass is given daily, and daily Christ dies. It's a sacrifice. On top of every church steeple almost in the United States, there is one thing you usually see. What is it? A cross. What's the cross indicative of? Death, sacrifice. You can't get saved by it, yet that's all the further we go today. All our architecture and everything else speaks loudly to those of us who have ears to hear. Paul came and he could not get beyond with the rank and file of believers. They wouldn't go any further than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's why verse 3 says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. He wanted to open unto them the great mystery. He wanted to show them the fantastic power of God that they had available to them, but they only wanted to go as far as Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Verse 4. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration. In demonstration of the Spirit and of power. In demonstrating the spiritual power. Demonstrating it. The demonstration included the 9 manifestations. That's how you demonstrate. There's no other demonstration. That you're believing, verse 5, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but that your believing should stand where? In the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. The word perfect here was that little handful of believers. It's called the initiated ones. It's a word that's used in Greek literature whenever somebody had been accepted into the highest echelon of Greek religion, when they had become the 33rd degreers. That's the word perfect. The initiated ones. As high as they could go. To those that had this perception, he spoke wisdom. And that was the wisdom regarding the mystery. Not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to what? But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Regarding the mystery is the text. We speak the wisdom of God regarding the mystery. It's God's wisdom then that He has spoken regarding the mystery. Then whenever, whatever we read regarded, that's God's word and God's will to us and for us. Even the hidden wisdom, which is the mystery, which was hidden, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Satan and all his cohorts didn't know anything about the mystery. The mystery which is God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. Gentiles, fellow heirs, and of the same body, the family. It was the mystery. Nobody knew it. Nobody knew it because God didn't tell it. And nobody squeezes anything out of God. That's right. Whenever God's ready to tell it, He'll tell it. And if He isn't ready, nobody bugs Him about it. It was kept hidden before the foundation of what? Which none of the princes knew. For had they known it, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. They'd allow Jesus Christ to live. Fantastic. I want to tell you that mystery must be unbelievable. Must just be fantastically great. Tremendous. Every other word I can't think of. It's just beyond any word. It has to be that big that God would keep it secret from before the foundation of the world. And it's so big that had Satan known it, he never would have crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. He let him live. What'd the poor church do without the cross? I guess, figure that all out. But, verse 9, as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered. And the entered into the heart of man. These words are come up in one's mind. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has come up in anyone's mind. The things is the mystery. These are the things, the mystery. The mystery which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, I checked my Bible this afternoon to see how many times this, the things, the mystery was mentioned in here. It just tremendous. You have it in verse 10, but God hath revealed them. It's in italics in the King James, but it's properly supplied because God hath revealed. Revealed what? The things, the mystery unto them by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things regarding what? The mystery. And that's the third usage here, verse 10. Fourth usage, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man? Save the spirit of man which is in. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. That's its fifth usage. Sixth usage is in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things, the mystery, that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13, seventh usage. Which things? The mystery also we speak, not in words with man's wisdom, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things. This is its eighth usage. The mystery with spiritual. The natural man receiveth not the things. This is ninth usage, verse 14, of the Spirit of God. For their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Them is properly supplied. Them what? The things, because are spiritually discerned. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual judges all things. The mystery, that's the 12th usage from verse 9 on. 12 times it's used in those verses from 9 through 16. Unbelievable. But I believe it because it's in the Word. Tremendous. The mystery. Kept secret from before the foundation of the world. Such a tremendous thing that Satan would never have crucified the Lord of glory had he known it. He did not know it. And unless our ministry stands today and unless people see the mystery and the greatness of it and they hold it forth, we'll all go down the tubes again. It's the first thing that's always lost. It's a lot easier to go to water baptism, anointing with oil, foot washing, long hair, short hair, no hair. It's easy to go that route, you know. Special altars. It's difficult to keep people standing for the greatness of the Word, the mystery. And he's always after belittling the mystery, the adversary, getting the mystery destroyed, getting rid of this mystery. Because if you don't know the mystery and believe it, he's got you hooked. You can act religious as all get out. You ought to get out because you're wrong. Right. The mystery. He said, eye hath not seen. The reason eyes didn't see it, because it's spiritual. And those eyeballs weren't spiritual. And without spiritual eyeballs, they couldn't see. They had ears that couldn't hear, because sense knowledge man can't know these things of God. And it never entered, came up in one's mind, because in order to get to one's mind, it'd have to first be what? Revealed. And it had not yet been what? So nobody had it up in his head. The adversary didn't have one inkling of an iota of what would happen if he crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. Never came up in his one's mind. And it had come into 1,000 people's mind overnight had the adversary known it. He would have possessed them right now and controlled them and said, get to that Seance meeting, man. Hear what I got to say. I didn't. Neither have entered in the heart of man the things regarding the mystery which God hath, past tense, prepared, past tense, for them that what? That's us. He loved us, that he gave his only begotten son for us. We are his, it's prepared for us. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if a dinner is prepared for you, who's going to eat the dinner? You got to be stupider and stupid if you don't eat, if you're hungry, and they set out a beautiful dinner for you. I tell you, the church has to be stupider than stupid not to get back to the mystery. That's the power of the church. That's where it is. Everything else any other religion can bring to you, but they cannot give you what God gave you in Christ Jesus in the mystery. Well, verse 10, yet God hath revealed them, the things, the mystery. Now when it says the things, that's everything that's wrapped up in that mystery. Revealed them, the things, the mystery, unto us by the Pneuma, the Spirit. It, in your King James, it's an uppercase S. It ought to be a lowercase. It's the gift. It's the gift. And the gift has 9 manifestations. It's the new birth. Yes, Christ in you, the hope of glory. After you have that, it has 9 manifestations. These manifestations are the demonstration, not of a man's running off of the mouth, but of the power of God that's in him. They're the demonstration, the evidence in the senses world. You got the real McCoy on the inside. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Searcheth all things. This gift, the Spirit, the gift for the Spirit, the Pneuma, searcheth all things. What all things? The mystery. This word searcheth. I told you something about it this morning. Does anybody remember what I told you? All right, we'll go back there, Dubofsky. Right, I forgot it. Now, but that's what it is. For the Spirit in you, Christ in you, the hope of God, unfolds by what? By the manifestation, the mysteries, all things. Yea, the deep things. Did I miss that one? I sure did, didn't I? Did I give you that early? Missed that one. Whew. That'll be the fourth one. So you can make that in 13 for all I care. Yea, the deep things. The deep things. The deep things are the mystery, is the mystery and how it operates. The Spirit. You know, it unfolds Christ in us. All things, the mysteries. Yea, the deep things, the depth of the mystery of God. Verse 11 should be a parenthesis, because you can go on directly from the end of verse 10 to verse 12. But verse 11 is an explanatory truth. Tremendous. For what man knoweth the deep things. That deep things is not the mystery. Check that one out. So you're still back to 12, I guess. For what man knoweth the deep things of a man? The mystery of a man. What man knoweth the mystery, the secret of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Really, who knows you but you? Those deep secrets, the deep things, things in your life you've never voiced to anybody, not even your best friend. You've never told your wife or your husband, and you never will. That's right. What man knoweth those innermost secrets except the man himself? So, even so, the deep things, the mystery of God, knoweth no man but what? Spirit of God. See? What an analogy. What a teaching. In my individual life, I know the secrets of my heart, the innermost part. I know. You don't know. I don't know yours. Now, God, the deep things, the mystery, the great secret of God is known to whom? God. And can only be known to man once God gives it to man. Verse 12. Now we received. The word have is scratched. And the word received is the word lambano. Fantastic. Now we have lambanoed. We've manifested, received into manifestation. Not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. We've received into manifestation. We've lambanoed. That we might know, not question, not doubt, that we might what? Know the things, the mystery, that we might know the mystery that are freely given to us of God. And the word freely here in essence means that we might know the mystery that is given to us by grace. The word freely is not is not a word in the Greek text. It's the word charis, grace. Boy, what a depth in that word. The mystery. That we might know the deep things, the mystery, which was given to us by grace, that are graciously, by His grace, given to us of God. God gave it to us. Which things, the mystery, also we speak, not with the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but with those words which the Spirit teacheth. Small s. Comparing spiritual things, the mystery, the deep things, with spirit-taught words. With the spiritual, spirit-taught words, which is the Word. You compare spiritual things, the mystery, with the Word, the revealed Word. Here's our textbook that gives us the truth of what the mystery is all about and how we are a part of this body or this family of God. But the natural man, you know, the one in verse 9, I have not what? seen, ear hath not heard. Because he was still a natural man. Now here in this particular verse 14, talking about the natural man, the man of body and soul, says the natural man receiveth not the things, the mystery of the Spirit of God. And this word receiveth is the word dekomai. Beautiful. Beautiful. The natural man is not even born again. It's why he's a natural man. That's why the word receiveth is the word dekomai, not lambano. He has not even received anything spiritually. And if you're going to know things of the spirit world, you're going to have spirit to know it. The natural man dekomize not, receiveth not the deep things, the mystery of the Spirit of God. For that mystery, for they are what? Foolishness unto him. The natural man, you talk to him about the great mystery. Talk to him about Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Gentiles, fellow heirs and of the same body, the natural man say, why, you crazy nut? You better go see a psychiatrist. They better put you on the hill. Lock you up. You're off your rocker. Right. You broke your stem. They're foolishness, foolishness, foolishness unto the natural man. Neither can he know them. Them is properly supplied. He can't know the deep things. He can't know the mystery. Why? Because they what? The deep things, the mystery, are spiritually discerned. Not analyzed, but what? Discerned. Right. Spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual, born again of God's Spirit with the knowledge of the Word. Not just talking about somebody born again. We got them by the barrelful in our country. But stupid on the Word. Matter of fact, they couldn't put the Word together if their life depended on it. Right. But here it's talking about he that is spiritual. Naturally, he must be born again, but he has a knowledge of the mystery. He knows what the mystery is all about, the deep things he's knowledgeable of. That's this man in verse 15. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, judgeth, discerneth. Well, what did I give you for that word judgeth this morning? Discern? Discernment? Discerning, what? Discerneth? That's good. That's good. Sure. He that is spiritual discerneth all things regarding what? The mystery. Yet he himself is discerned by no man. Judged. Discerned. You see, whose son am I? Son of God, by birth. If there's going to be any judgment, any discerning, he is the one, he's my father, he does it. Understand? I understand why the King James went with the word judge. It's not bad if you understand it. You see, if I'm the son of my father, he has set the pattern. And if God said, the great mystery is so and so, and this is what you have in me, and this is what you are, this is what I want you to do, then it's already set in judgment. God set it. Then a man comes along, a man, and the man in his world wisdom says, I think you're off. He's the one that's off. We're not judged by what men say. The discerning, or this discern, in verse 15, yet he himself is discerned of no man. That doesn't mean that I may not be corrected, you know, reproof, correction, receive further instruction in righteousness. Not talking about that. It's talking about the great mystery. That if you have a knowledge of that great mystery and you understand it, no man has a right to stand up against you and say, well, I discern it ought to be so and so. He's nuts. God's right. Right. And you got to go with God. Verse 16. For who knew? K-N-E-W. For who knew the mind of the Lord? Well, the answer is axiomatic. Nobody. Nobody knew the mind of the Lord until the Lord revealed it. For had the princes of this world known the mind of the Lord, they would not have what? Had they known the great mystery, they'd have never crucified him. They didn't know the mind, for it had not yet what been revealed. See it? For who knew the mind of the Lord? That he may teach it. That he may teach it. Who knew the mind of the Lord so they could teach it? Teach what? The deep things, the great spiritual depth. Nobody. Because the revelation had not yet what? Until God gave it to the Apostle Paul. It's not in the Old Testament. It's not in the Gospels. And ladies and gentlemen, if nobody knew it, until the Apostle Paul, then Jesus Christ could not have what? Known it. For had Jesus Christ known it, then somebody would have known it. But it was kept hidden secret in God from before the foundations. And first made known to the Apostle Paul. And before it was made known to the Apostle Paul, there lived one who is our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he didn't know it. And I want to tell you something. The Bible says God knows everything. Therefore, Jesus Christ could not be what? Amen. And anybody that teaches that he is a liar from hell, I don't care how religious he is or how sincere, he's just straight from the pit because it contradicts the mystery. You see, it's tearing it away again, getting rid of the mystery. These stupid flowers are too tall. Get rid of the flowers, but don't get rid of the mystery. That's right. But you see, we're so religious. We're so sincere. And we have been living in error so long that if anybody dares to teach the mystery today, they want to cut him down. Like they want to cut you down. Like they want to cut my ministry down. But praise God, we stood these years and we aren't going down yet. Whether they like it or no, I don't give a darn about. It's the Word. But you can horse around a lifetime, and people, when it's over with, you're going to stand before God. And it's the Word you're going to be judged by. And it's all in the mystery. Why do you want to eat, I don't give a hoot, sand, when you can have Swiss steak? But you can become so blinded in this world spiritually that sand seems to be the best diet a person could ever have. But you know what keeps you there? Satan has blinded your eyes, number one. And secondly, you move with the people who eat sand for a diet. And you haven't got the courage to step out and get Swiss steak. Because when you take a stand on God's Word and really take a stand on it, you've got to come apart and be separated. He'll do it every time. Who's going to instruct him? Who's going to teach God? Huh? Who knew the mind of the Lord? Nobody. Well, if nobody knew it, then Jesus Christ did what? He didn't know it. Well, then shut up. He didn't know it. Don't come around after the meeting tonight and say, well, don't you think he had a little inkling? No! If he'd have had an inkling, he would have known. He'd had an inkling of knowing. Right. He did not what? Now, people, either God's word stands or man's. And in the so-called Christian circles today, it's man's wisdom, man's word. The very thing Paul says, I didn't come to you with my PhD wisdom. And Paul was not an ignoramus. He was not a stupid jackass. He was not a fool. That's right. He had been educated at all the Harvards and the Princetons and the Yales and the KUs and Berkeley and a few others, including Ohio Stoop State, wherever it is. And he had come out of all of those great universities with a lot of head knowledge, but spiritually stupid. That's right. He was trained at the feet of Gamaliel. Boy, you can read it in the record. Nobody outran him in his age, in his time, it says. And yet he said he counted all that stuff but dung, as for the excellency of the knowledge of the Word of God. Oh, boy! Here we are, the greatest day in all history, and we sit around and play tiddlywinks when the mystery is at stake again. God's made the mystery known to us again. It's open to us. The Word is open. And we want to sit around and shoot ping pong balls for pool balls or something. Why not the Word? Why? It's the only thing of God. The only thing that adds up. The only thing that makes any sense. Who knew the mind of the Lord? Nobody. If you didn't know the mind of the Lord, how are you going to teach God what he ought to say? That he may what? Instruct him. Teach him. Teach it. Teach it is the text. Who knew the mind of the Lord that he could teach it? Nobody. Until the revelation was given. That's why the last phrase says, but we have the mind of Christ. I had Walter and everybody working this stuff a little while ago in last minute affair. Because I got the word we scratched out in my Bible, but don't you scratch yours out. Because I haven't got any text they tell me to scratch it out. The we. Well, I haven't got any text, we'll leave it in, I guess. But boy, I want to tell you something. When I scratch something out in my Bible, someplace, sometime, somewhere, I worked something that I knew had it. But I can't find it. So since I can't find it, leave this we in it. I don't care. Because I understand it with the we in it. If you use the we, but we have the mind of Christ, does not mean you have it up here. You should have it up here. Put on the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you which was where. To the end you have renewed your mind on the mystery, you have the mind of Christ. But that's not what he's talking about. What it's here. We have the mind of Christ available to us as to what this mystery was all about. You can read it in the Word. It's available to you. You have that mind available to you. And the words that are omitted, which must be supplied at the end because of the type of figure that it is, so you can teach it. Those are the words you have to add. So you can teach it. You see, we have it available. Now you put it on up here so you can what? That's what I mean when I say each one win one. You got the Word of God, you teach it to one person. That person learns enough of the Word, they teach it to one. You'd go back, teach it to another. Each one win one. Each one teach one. Who knew the mind of the Lord that he may teach it? Nobody. Until it was revealed. And it was revealed to those, it says, prepared for them in verse 9, that what? Love him for us. Therefore, we have the mind of Christ, so you can what? Teach it. I was going to write the literal Estrangelo Aramaic in it. Forgot it. Walter, are you back here waiting on me to finish? You want to come in a minute? What was that Estrangelo Aramaic literal translation?
The mind of Christ is to us for ours.
The mind of Christ. That wasn't exactly how it was. It is, huh? She's always right. Okay, that's great. Do it again. The mind of Christ is what?
Is to us or is ours.
All right. The mind of Christ is ours or it's to us in the essence that it's available. Got it? It's ours. You know, not automatically. You're born again, you don't automatically have it, right? But it's available to us. That's pretty good from Arrogate. That's all right. Is ours. It's available to us. For what purpose? That we can renew our minds and teach it. That we may teach it. So you see, when you work this tremendous second chapter of Corinthians, it speaks loudly to our day and to our time and to our ears. And class, we just have to quit messing around. It's a do or die situation. Sure, the adversary talk you out of it. But why allow him to talk you out of it? Because if he talks you out of it, the greatness of this revelation will again not be made known. It'll only be made known if you learn it and you teach it. And there's nothing that equals the greatness of this mystery. Nothing. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is why statements like Philippians are true. I then can do all things through whom? Who strengthens me or infuses me with His Spirit. I can do it by the power of God that's in me. See, then the whole book begins to fit in that section which is addressed to us. And unless we hold forth this mystery in the way ministry, there is no reason for our existence. We have nothing to offer. But boy, with the knowledge we have of God's Word and the knowledge of this mystery that we can spell out line by line and word by word without pulling anybody's leg, without handling the Word of God deceitfully, is the greatest thing in the history of the world since the first century. And you get discouraged? Why, we people in the way ministry ought to be the happiest, the most blessed, most evidence of blessing. We ought to effervesce wherever we glow and glow with the greatness of the power of God. Because God has made known His mystery. He has declared it. And it's prepared for those who love Him. Well, that's us. That's all of the believers. God would have all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, to come to the knowledge of the truth is not just to be saved. The knowledge of the truth. The mystery. What it's all about. And there are 9 manifestations that demonstrate it. And only 9 and no more. That's why you must speak in tongues if you're spiritual. According to the definition there. You must interpret, you must prophesy, you must operate word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning experience, faith, miracles, and healing. To be spiritual. Because that power is in you. Because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now I'll answer any question on this chapter tonight. Anybody? That's all I got to say. Boy, isn't this fantastic? In the first core, I guess, I gave them a literal translation, I think, one night of these difficult verses. Not difficult, but, you know, difficult to most people. Did I give it to the first core or second core? I gave it somebody. Was it advanced class in California? Well, I must have been inspired. David?
They were together. They worked it for 2 days, I think it was.
Did we? Okay. I know I did it once. But the thing again I saw this morning while we were reading it is that I forget about it too at times, and it bothers my head. You know, I get busy planting trees, messing around, doing this, doing that, and I forget about the greatness of this ministry. Because, boy, day after day this week I was dog tired. Man, I'd get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. One time I got up at 3:45 so that I could work my letters and other stuff before 6 o'clock when I wanted to go outside to work. Then we'd work till dark. And I got to thinking, boy, what am I working so hard for? You know, why am I killing myself for a few lousy, silly trees? Very simple. If I didn't give my life for those few lousy, silly trees, nobody getting trees out. And then I got to thinking, I'm doing this not because I'm tired. I'm doing it because of the mystery. The mystery. Christ is in me, the hope of glory. Then when people come to International, they get blessed when they drive down the road because they see the beautiful trees. So we've already got them halfway in our hand to teach them the word before they ever get in the building. Once we get in the building, we lock the door, throw the key away. See? Right. And I, whenever I lose track of seeing the mystery, I get discouraged. But as long as I see the mystery and what it's all about, and that mystery is in me, it's in every born-again believer, that mystery which is God in Christ in you, the hope of glory, that we belong to the family of God. Man, I want to tell you, I don't mind planting trees. I don't mind getting up at 3:45 and have Mrs. Wirwell run in three times before 6 and say, honey, why don't you come to bed and at least get another hour's rest? Didn't bother me. I don't think she slept too much either. Never asked her after that. Because she's always coming and want me to go bed. Because she thought I needed sleep. She's right, I did. But I didn't go. Why? Because the mystery has to live. Somebody's got to make it live. And if it demands you get up at 3:30 in the morning, you get up. If it demands you get dead tired and you die being dead tired anyways. You're not sick. People, I have no words to tell you how great that second chapter is. You just got to read it until it burns in your soul like it does in mine. It makes me so hot inside, even a fire extinguisher couldn't begin to touch it. It's just a burning thing within my soul tonight, like it is time and time again. That's what keeps you going, because we look seeing him who is invisible. And life moves on, even if you're 18. Because someday you're going to be 19. And lo and behold, by the time you're 21, you're getting old. So you see, it keeps moving. And if you live to be 100, it still moves quickly. These weeks here at International go so fast, I sometimes wonder why we only have Monday and Saturday. No other days in there. That's right. It's the week's over with before it's hardly begun. And it's exciting. It's alive. I've talked to people who have been on beds of pain, sickness, affliction, and the days were lonely and dreary. And the nights were twice as long as the day. That's terrible. I thank God for life and health and strength, and that the days go by quickly. We have only one thing, people. Here it is, the word. That we have to hold forth. Outside of that, we have no ministry. Nobody has a ministry anyways outside of that. But that's why we have the Way Ministry. And it's that mystery that's so fantastic. And we just need to gel that chapter. You've got to read that till that's blue. You're blue in the face and it's running out of your soul or someplace, that you are electrified with the greatness of it. And you see that this is God's will, that we know the mystery, not that we just know him who was crucified, but that we know him whom God raised from the dead with all the power and the glory and the majesty of his divine presence in you. And that's something. Father, sure thank you for your love and graciousness, and again for this tremendous word. And oh, Father, give our people an understanding and a burning within their souls, not to sell out to the adversary, but to sell out to you and just stand on that word and boldly declare it. We surely love you and thank you for this. Through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.